I was thinking about this the other day as I was writing some stuff about nonfiction brandversity and the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. And I thought to myself, just when exactly did I come up with that idea that branding can and should be a nonfiction exercise as opposed to a fiction one? And I started thinking about it and going way back in the dusty, cobweb-covered portions of my mind to try to figure out exactly when that occurred. And I think it happened when I received a really, really bad creative brief from an account executive who just really didn't care. And that creative brief basically said something along the lines of, here's the size of the ad. It's going to be a print ad in a newspaper. Write some stuff about the client. I'm like, what? What do you want me to write about? And, you know, typically it would be, if it's a retail style ad, there would be an offer. It's a buy one, get one free. It's a come in for a limited time and get half off. It's any number of retail oriented come-ons to get people to actually walk in the door, open their wallets and pay for your product or service. Those are easy to do. And typically a creative brief will say very clearly, here's the offer. Here's the call to action. Here's the CTA. Well, this creative brief had none of that. So instead, I'm forced to rely on what I know about the product or service. And that's when I started to understand that the product or service that I was actually having to write about, there was no there. Remember that old Gertrude Stein once described Oakland, California with a very pithy phrase, there is no there. Well, in the case of a brand like the one I was supposed to be writing for, there was no there. There was no core brand. There was no bedrock upon which to build anything. Hey, everybody, this is DP Knutin, and I'm flying solo today on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and it's allowing me the opportunity to really explain what nonfiction branding is about. So I was talking about this ad project that I had to do as a copywriter that had no meat, no there, no nothing, no bedrock upon which to build the ad. And then I started thinking about the time I spent at McCann Erickson in Atlanta, Georgia, working on Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is a huge brand, and it has been a huge brand since 1886 when it was first invented and then, you know, took the world by storm. And it hasn't done that by accident. It's done it by design. And when I was at McCann Erickson as a very young copywriter, I would get a brief. And inevitably, somewhere in the creative brief, it would say something about don't forget to constantly hammer home the ideas of authenticity, refreshment, and sociability. The ideas being that Coke is the real thing, that nothing refreshes quite like Coca-Cola, and that it's not something you drink alone. You drink it at parties, you drink it at Thanksgiving, picnics, football games, you name it. It's always in places where people gather and have fun. So authenticity, refreshment, and sociability. That was always the starting place for any ad that I created for Coca-Cola. It was also the three things that the brand managers at Coca-Cola would kill my ads over. If the ad said authenticity but not sociability, the ad was dead. If it said authenticity and sociability but didn't really hit the refreshment key, that was dead. It had to hit all three buttons in a meaningful way. Otherwise, the ad was dead, regardless of the ad's apparent quality. It could be something that I thought was hilarious, touching, emotional, whatever. If it did not constantly hammer home the three nails of authenticity, refreshment, and sociability, it was dead. I learned from that something incredibly important about a brand. A brand must be codified, meaning turned into words and pictures and images and colors and type and all that stuff. And it must be enforced, especially if it's a nonfiction brand like Coca-Cola. Well, let's face it. Why is this so critical for a product like Coca-Cola? If you look at it from one point of view, you could say that their core product, their foundational product, their flagship product is nothing more than fizzy, sweet brown water, which is surrounded by a world of competitors that are equally sweet, fizzy, brown, and water-based. And yet, Coca-Cola is something so much more than that. It's such a big deal that you can see it in action anytime you go to a restaurant with friends and the server says something like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't serve Coke here, we have Pepsi products. And that friend who just ordered a Coca-Cola says, oh, that's okay, I'll just have water. Are you telling me that there's such a difference between Coke and Pepsi that you can't willy-nilly substitute them in some people's minds? Talk to those people and they'll say, oh yeah, yeah, I never drink Pepsi. I'm a Coke person. Or vice versa, I never drink Coke. I'm a Pepsi person. How do you create something that commands so much respect and so much preference? You get that because you've created a brand, and ideally a nonfiction brand. Now, this is me getting up on my soapbox again, trying to explain the difference between a nonfiction brand and a, what I would consider, fictional brand. Let me give you an example of what I mean by the difference between a nonfiction brand and a fiction brand. In October of 2017, a certain magazine that sounds like Vast Bumpany had a web article entitled How to Build a Brand in an Hour. My head exploded. You can't build a brand in an hour. So I, of course, took that clickbait headline and I dove right into the article. And I come to see that, no, it's a bunch of people and they're kind of playing and we're creating brands. And what they mean by branding is we came up with some lines. We came up with some standard phrases. We played Mad Libs with advertising and marketing. And we came up with a new idea for a new product with a name, with a tagline, with all this stuff. And it was fun. Yeah, then my head really exploded. Because here's the thing about branding. It's not fun. It's disciplined. It's serious. And it requires a level of dedication and enforcement and inspiration that should not be second-guessed or undervalued. The people in this branding exercise were given some hypothetical, fictional base to start from and then told, go ahead and create a brand using these techniques. And of course, it was an agency selling their version of the techniques that every ad agency uses. Oh man, that just disgusted me. Because here's the thing about nonfiction branding. It's not about what you could be, it's about what you are. It's not about what you want to project, it's about who you are and how to buff that up to a fine sheen so that it never overpromises, it never underdelivers, and it is completely unique to you. How can something that is synthetic be authentic? These people were synthetically creating what they called a brand when I'm only interested in creating the authentic brand that you already are. And that's what nonfiction brandversity is all about. Now, this is not going to be a 20-minute commercial for nonfiction brandversity, although this is a great time for a commercial about nonfiction brandversity. This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus. Okay, you heard it. You can join at any time simply by going to Facebook and asking to join. And because I'm the guy who approves everybody, you're in. All you have to do is ask to join. Nonfiction Brandversity is all about helping you discover, craft, and communicate the true, authentic brand you already are. It's not about making something up. It's not about telling you what clothes to wear. It's not telling you about how to do what you do best. It's about discovering what you do best, coming up with the best way to say it and present it, and also giving you the techniques, hints, tips, and tricks you can use online via social media to do it yourself every day, even if you have a day job working for somebody else. The reality is, if you are not a brand, you are by definition a commodity. What's the difference between a brand and a commodity? A commodity is bought by the pound, the inch, the foot, the liter, the gallon. A brand is purchased at a premium. The example I like to use, because it's so painfully obvious what I'm talking about when I say this, is the difference between an Android-based smartphone and an iPhone or iOS-based smartphone. There's only one iOS-based smartphone, and that is the iPhone, so you might as well call it the iPhone. If you have an Android-based phone, you have a commodity product. And that commodity product can be priced so low that a lot of times it's free when you sign up for a new contract for your phone. iPhone, and a lot of people decry this, is sold for a premium because it's a brand. Again, Android phones, a bunch of commodities. iPhone, it's a brand. And the real tell on this is that Android owns the market when it comes to market penetration. It has something like 90%+ of smartphones around the world are Android-based. And yet, if you look at a different metric at the amount of profit that each of those operating systems get, Apple's iOS-based phones capture over 80% of the profit that is made by selling smartphones globally. And let me say that this way. They get 10% of the market, plus or minus, and they get 80% of the profit. Let's say that again. 10% of the market, and yet they get 80% of the profit. That's the difference between commodity and brand. Android-based phones are sold as cheaply as possible. Apple, because it's created a strong corporate brand, the Apple brand, it's gone on to create a strong iPhone brand, again, making it a premium product, they can therefore price it accordingly. There are a lot of people, especially engineers, who look at my iPhone 7 Plus and laugh and say, "You're paying so much money, dude, for a phone that shouldn't cost that much." And I look at them and I laugh and say, "Yeah, well, if you think I'm just buying a phone, you are completely wrong, because I'm buying everything else that Apple provides. The ecosystem, the quality of the build, the design, the originality, the innovation, all these things. Plus, I just think they look better, both in terms of software and hardware." My point, Apple has a brand. iOS is a brand. iPhone is a brand. And those brands are sold at a premium. Android, on the other hand, if I haven't hit this hard enough yet, is a commodity. You can literally get it on the crappiest phone in the world and a pretty good phone, but there's everything in between. How does that apply to you? If you are working at a company and no one knows you're there, does it make a sound? Yeah, I'm riffing off that old philosophy thing about if a tree falls in the forest, but it's true when it comes to your career. If you are laboring in the back in obscurity, you are a commodity. And here's the thing about commodities. They can always be replaced at any time. But if you're a brand, there's only one of you. Let me give you an example. You know NASCAR racing? Very big in the south of the United States of America. NASCAR racing is a circuit racing that goes nothing but left turns at very high speeds. Think about it this way. There are two critical components within every NASCAR. One is the engine. The other is the driver. The engine, now this is an oversimplification because I'm sure gearheads would get all bent out of shape about this, but let's just say you can pull the engine and put a new one in and no one will know the difference. Yet you can't do that with the driver. The drivers own their personal brands so that whenever they want to jump teams and go somewhere else, they can. The owners of those cars, they can replace the engine over and over and over again, but if they lose their marquee driver, that driver takes all their fans, and there are plenty of them for every driver in NASCAR, that driver can take all their fans to the team they go to next. That right there proves the power of personal branding. You might like the Tide car, and you might like the driver, but if that driver is your favorite driver and they leave the Tide car and they go to someplace else, guess what? You're going to follow them, not stick with the car. That is personal branding. Let me just say this again. If you're not a brand, you're a commodity. If you're a brand, you're purchased at a premium. If you're a commodity, you're sold for the cheapest amount possible. I hate to say it, but it's true, and that's why nonfiction branding yourself, building your personal brand, is absolutely critical. As we approach the time where more and more jobs are going to be taken over by AI, artificial intelligence, and assembly robots, and everything else, if you are just a human commodity, you're in trouble. But if you're a personal brand that is a thought leader within your industry that is constantly presenting and proving and demonstrating their quality and their abilities in public in a way that people who care about what you do understand, you're going to retain your value. Right now, I'm looking at an entire job sector called over-the-road truckers. These are the guys who just do highway trucking. Not within the city, just I pick up a load in Chicago and I take it to Los Angeles. I'm an over-the-road trucker. Well, if you're an over-the-road trucker, I hate to tell you, dude, you're out of a job in about a minute and 32 seconds. Because as Elon Musk and others disrupt the trucking industry, an entire sector of jobs are going away. If you're a professional, here's another provocative, pokey in the eye thought. If you have a series of letters after your name, like CPA, JD, MD, PhD, MBA, those are just table stakes. They get you in the game, but they certainly don't make you a winner anymore. An MBA, which used to mean that, ooh, you can get a mid to upper level job right out of college, that barely gets you in the door anymore. So you have to do something to truly differentiate yourself in the marketplace. And the way to do that is via personal branding. And personal branding, well, that's the topic that we're always dealing with at Nonfiction Brandversity, a free Facebook group. All you have to do is go to Facebook, search for Nonfiction Brandversity, and ask to join. Once you're in, I invite you to engage with the entire community as we all work to become better, as we all work to become smarter, and as we all strive to be something other than a commodity via nonfiction branding and being the authentic, true brand you already are. Well, this solo show with me, D.P. Knewton, on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is coming to a close. And again, I hope to see you on the campus of Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.